Welcome to the New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, the New Mind Creator. Today, I'll be interviewing Dr. Mark Wiseman. Please make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll receive alerts when new episodes are available on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, please leave me a review on iTunes or Spotify. Dr. Wiseman, what was the journey like from you being a kid that led to you becoming a former pastor?
I think there's been just so many pieces that many times it took hindsight to see, right? So we have experiences in our lives and we're experiencing things as we go. And very often we never put the big thing together until much later. So is my story, I think, of my journey. I've certainly had trials and tribulations along the way. But for the most part, while I was living those, I will call them undesirable decisions, I thought it was the right path. I thought this is what, I'm destined to do. So it wasn't until much later that I begin to reflect back and say, oh, this is what I learned there. I just didn't know it. And now, as I've gotten older, I see its application in my modern life. So if I learned a lesson as a child, learned a lesson as a young man, that lesson was absorbed, but not noted. And it wasn't until later that I can look back and go, oh, I see how this experience created this lesson, that I learned this, and this is how I apply it. But that came much later. That was much later in my life. And I think, the trials and tribulations I've had along my journey of growth, I think led to this place where I was kind of, I knew what was going on and what was happening and why. And so I think it just all came together as an elderly man, where I was able to just kind of concrete all of this together.
How many years were you a pastor?
I was a chaplain, okay, for 12 years.
And what was life like growing up? Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up, unfortunately, I grew up all over the place. I was born in Ohio, in the Midwest. We moved back to the East Coast. My father's family was born in kind of grew up in New Jersey. From New Jersey, we moved to Louisiana, where we lived just north of New Orleans while they were building a new nuclear power plant there. And then we moved to Tucson, Arizona, where eventually I would finish high school, go off to the military, and then come back. Soon thereafter, I found myself in the state of Washington. And now, of course, I live here in South Central Alaska. So kind of all over the place. And I think I was your average, normal 70-ish, 80-ish kid. I did the same thing that everybody else did. I kind of hung out. My mother was more or less a new age. I think they referred to them coming out of the 60s as a hippie. And so she kind of exposed me to a mindset that wasn't so locked in and so boxed, unlike my father, who was a very hardcore, alcoholic, among other things, but very rigid in his thinking, wasn't very religious at all, didn't subscribe to any of it, certainly didn't accept spirituality as a thing. It was the here and now, what he could put his hands on. So their framework between the two of them kind of gave me, I think, an excellent foundation at which to build a very structured understanding of this huge vastness called spirituality that now I can I rely on.
What is a shaman? How would you describe that?
A shaman, and everyone has a different definition from what I'm told, but a shaman is basically someone who is called by the spirits to relay information from the spirits to man as to how they can grow, learn, and love. The shaman is simply a conduit from the spiritual world, the world of deities and spirits, to the world of man. And there's simply a conduit as to the knowledge and wisdom that can be obtained from the spiritual realm.
How does a person know they are a conduit?
I think there's obviously most of it's tied up in emotion, where we feel that we're being called to certain things, to feel certain ways, to do certain things, to be certain ways. I think as I know in my journey, as I've become more connected, if you will, to the spiritual realm, I can have these greater discussions about these much more vast ideas and concepts that I've had, and get a lot more information than I've ever read or seen or understood was even on the physical realm. So there's just this gift that you feel where you're tapped into a much larger resource, a much larger reference library at which to draw upon. But I also think that there's other feelings that are interpreted by the brain we recognize them as emotions, but with them come these feelings and management of those feelings that we may not have had before. So I think in a nutshell, it's a you'll know statement where you just feel. You feel connected. I remember my years as a chaplain before I left the church. I always felt there was holes missing. And whenever I went through the doctrine and I'd study more doctrine and I'd read more books and I'd get more opinions, I always felt that there was these holes that weren't filled. And no matter how many books or how many people I spoke to, I just couldn't fill that hole of knowledge that I wanted, that I needed to feel comfortable. And it, as I transferred out of the church and as I began to do called into trances and began to channel different spirits, I began to feel more full. That hole wasn't there anymore. I began to feel more full, more myself, more complete. I was whole. Things made sense to me in my mind. And of course, felt right in my heart. So the holes that I had as a chaplain were filled as I left the church to discover my journey here through spirituality.
Could you describe the teaching of the wisdom of your ancestors? Is that along the lines or is that something different?
It does. I mean, you know, they teach mostly about when you think about their values, they valued togetherness. They valued clanness, harmony with the clan. They valued additional hands because, you know, in the winter nights, when you still had to do take care of the animals and whatnot out in the fields, it was really nice to have additional hands to do that. So a lot of their values that they would have held very dearly are passed through this emotional thing, through this emotional connection that you have with them. And I think the largest one that has come to me is simplicity, right? Is learning to strip away all these different things and material desires and all of those things and just kind of move back to a simple, normal life. normal being a very relative term, but nonetheless, you're just trying to get back to this simple life of growth and a deeper understanding of them and certainly the spirits around us every day.
And you've developed methods of dealing with psychological trauma that you've used to help friends and various other people. Did you have to overcome any psychological trauma?
I did. As I mentioned, my father, an alcoholic. So as long as I can remember, I've dealt with a very violent individual. I left there. And got involved in drugs, heavy drugs, heroin and cocaine to be exact, and spent my tour in the military using when I got out. Soon thereafter, I actually overdosed and was detoxed essentially in someone's spare bedroom. And so, yes, there's been a lot of psychological, and I'm going to say rearranging, not damaged, because it's just a rearrangement, right? So we just lose our connections between data points. And so I've spent the last 33 years clean, you know, and healthy, making better choices, obviously. And so I've had the ability now to kind of put the original connections kind of back together so that I can deal with them and understand why my father was the way he was, why I went the path I did to self-destruct and almost succeeded. I now see the reasons and the understandings, and I've taken away lessons from that that I pass on to others.
And was he violent towards you as
yes.
well? He was.
Yes.
And how were you able to forgive him and, you know, evolve and move past that trauma?
Well, I think I've come to an understanding that, as my ancestors have taught me, that forgiveness is just a way of easing our own mind. In many cases, you know, my father passed before we ever made amends. We were opposed to each other right up until the time he passed. So I have come to understand that forgiveness is not important. What I've taken away from my time with my father is experiences that led to a knowledge base that led to an understanding. And so now I can look at alcoholism and the violence, and I understand why people go that way. You know, I see a trajectory that's outlined before them. And I tell them, I explain to them, this is where this is going to go. This is how it's going to go. And I've understood now one of the reasons that I think it didn't probably damage me as much as it might damage others is that with the fluidity in my understanding of you know, the spiritual world and the emotional crush. Now, as I look back, I was still a child. So I really didn't have a full grasp yet of how to deal with emotions, right? I mean, we really didn't understand. So it's like I tried to tell everyone, when my father was abusive and drunk or whatever, to me, it seemed normal at the time. That was what life was at that point. At that fraction of time in my past now, I looked at it and said, this is life. This is normal. And it wasn't until I looked back with my 30, 40, 50-year-old eyes that I said, wow, that guy was really off the rails there. He should have been corrected. And it's only then that we say, oh, wait a minute. What did I learn? And then you start going into the lessons and you can absorb it. But during the time it's happening, during these many events, to me, at the time, it seemed normal. That was just the way fathers were in that day and age. Now, this is early 70s, mid-70s. That's how fathers were. And you kind of looked around and all the other kids would say, yep, my dad does the same thing. And so you kind of built this up and you said to yourself, okay, well, this is just the way it is. It's normal, right? And it wasn't until I looked back and said, wow, wait a minute. No. That's not the way parents, fathers should act. We should have as much love and compassion as anyone else. We need to express that. We need to display that so that our kids know that value, not the other way, not perpetuate this understanding that all fathers, hardworking fathers, are, you know, alcoholic and violent. They're not. Matter of fact, very few are. So they're very often they're misunderstood. So I think, you know, it wasn't until I looked back again with older eyes that I was able to go, oh yeah, that was bad. That was wrong. He shouldn't have done that. And I took away the experience and I learned from it. Do I ever hit my children? No, absolutely not. I never would. So lesson learned. I got the experience. Would I wish that experience on anyone else? No. But that's why I say what I say on the air, so that hopefully other people don't have to go through this.
Why do you say forgiveness is not important?
Well, you know, in most cases, when we talk about forgiveness, people say, oh, I need to forgive you because I need to get this guilt, shame thing from me and cast it out. It's not, you know, in many cases when the offender, we'll call them, when someone offends us and we feel that they need to, or, you know, they need to forgive or they need to seek forgiveness. That's what I meant. They may not even recognize the thing that there was some kind of offense. And so here you are saying, why didn't they ask me for forgiveness, you know, or whatever? Why are they doing it? And I'm carrying the burden. Why am I carrying the burden? I experienced it. Plus, I have to carry almost a guilt, shame burden as well. That doesn't provide value for our psychology to grow from. We learned an experience. That person is obviously having a bad day, or something has pushed them the wrong way. And we took the experience away. We know that's what it is. And I just don't see, I think too many people put too many eggs in the forgiveness basket. And, you know, my father, I mean, there's nothing to forgive. He acted the way he acted because of the way he was programmed to act. It's no different than a wild animal. They're like internally programmed to do what they do. And I think, you know, the society and community and all of these things may have had an influence on that programming. But nonetheless, he was programmed to behave the way he did. And, okay, I learned that I'm not going to program myself or allow myself to be programmed, nor am I going to allow my kids to experience it. So I've gained, and there's no forgiveness necessary. He did what he did. He did all he knew to do. Because if he'd have known better, he would have changed, right? You know, it's like he was what he was. Could he have grown? Could someone have said, hey, you know, that's kind of not cool. Maybe you need to change your behaviors. Would he have? I don't know. No one did. So there's nothing to forgive. Do I forgive myself for using, you know, for overdosing on drugs? No, there's nothing to forgive. It's a lesson. I've taken it away and saying, you know, I'm staying away from that stuff. And I promote other people staying away from that stuff. It's not a lesson I think everyone needs. But nonetheless, it's an experience. So I don't have as much, I guess I just don't put as much value in forgiving someone for a transgression that they may interpret completely different than when I did. So
from listening to you, you've had a tremendous transformation from, you know, enduring the trauma, the psychological and physical trauma, to being on drugs. And I know the mind state that you were in had to be like a really tough place to be in when you're looking back, of course, into what you've evolved into now, and of course, continuing to evolve. So it's just a tremendous story to hear.
Well, thank you. You know, and again, we always look back with our older eyes, and we make judgments based on our older eyes perspective. And what we fail to remember is during the experience, during that actual time, we had a very different mindset. And so, you know, it's an experience to be had for sure, but I don't think we need to hang our hat on. It's not a life sentence. It's a life lesson. So I think that's really important that people understand that, you know, when we get to these places, what seems normal is not going to seem normal. Even if it was normal, it's not going to seem normal when you look at it with older eyes. So the past is a very fickle thing to kind of attach your ship to, because it again, you can never look at it with the eyes that you experienced it with. You're always looking at it with a different set of eyes. So it's just life. It's the experience. It's the love, right?
Sure. What is your one to grow on? What valuable piece of information would you like to leave our audience with?
I think the best one that people need to know, they have the power of change. They don't need anyone else's approval. They don't need anyone else's energy or push or anything. Every life form on the physical plane of existence has the ability to change. And that choice, that decision is completely on us. Every individual can make that choice, and they can make it every second. So if they missed one yesterday, they can do one today. You know, if they feel like they made a wrong decision yesterday, that's okay. Yesterday's gone. It's history. It's an experience. We can change now.
Thank you for listening to the New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, the New Mind Creator. Today's episode has been sponsored by Abundant Sports and True Serum.